On the third night after leaving Galala, when the constellation of the wild asses made its zenith in the northern night sky, Pharaoh halted the squadron to water the horses and to eat a hasty meal of sun-dried meat, dates, and cold durra millet cakes. Then he ordered the mount up. There was no sounding of the ram's horn trumpet now, for they were into the territory where often the patrolling Hyksosian chariots ranged. The column started forward again at the trot. As they went on, the landscape changed dramatically. They were out of the bad lands at last, back into the foothills above the river valley. Below them, they could make out the strip of dense vegetation, distant and dark in the moonlight, that marked the course of Great Mother Nile. They had completed the wide circuit around Abnob, and were in the rear of the main Hyksosian army on the river. Although they were a tiny force to go in against such an enemy as Apepe, they were the best charioteers in the army of Tomoza, which made them the finest in the world. Moreover, they held the element of surprise. When Pharaoh had first proposed this strategy and told them he'd lead the expedition in person, his war council had opposed him with all the vehemence they could muster against the word of a god. Even old Kratos, once the most reckless and savage warrior in all the armies of Egypt, had torn at his thick white beard and bellowed, "By Seth's ragged and festering foreskin! I did not change your shit-smeared swaddling sheets so that I could send you straight into the loving arms of a papy!" He was perhaps the one man who might dare to speak to a god-king in this fashion. "Send another to do such menial work! Lead the breakthrough column yourself if it amuses you, but do not disappear into the desert to be devoured by ghouls and jinn. You are Egypt. If a papy takes you, he takes us all." Of all the council, only Naja had supported him, but Naja was always loyal and true. Now they had won through the desert and were into the enemy rear. In tomorrow's dawn they would make the one desperate charge that would split up Apepe's army and allow five more of Pharaoh's squadrons, 1,000 chariots, to come boiling through to join him. Already he had the mellifluous taste of victory on his tongue. Before the next full moon, he would dine in the halls of Apepe's palace in Avaris. It had been almost 2 centuries since the upper and lower kingdoms of Egypt had been split apart. Since then, either an Egyptian usurper or a foreign invader had ruled in the northern kingdom. It was Tammuz's destiny to drive out the Hyksos and unite the two lands once more. Only then could he wear the double crown with justification and the approval of all the ancient gods. The night air blew in his face, cool enough to numb his cheeks, and his lance-bearer crouched low behind the dashboard to shield himself. The only sound was the crunch of the chariot wheels over the coarse gravel, the lances rattling softly in their scabbards, and the occasional low warning cry of, "Beware! Hole!" passed on down the column. Suddenly, the wide wadi of Jebel Wadun opened ahead of him, and Pharaoh Tammuz reined down the team. The wadi was the smooth roadway that would lead them down onto the flat alluvial plain of the river. Pharaoh tossed the reins to his lance-bearer and vaulted down to the earth. He stretched his stiff, aching limbs, and without turning, heard the sound of Naja's chariot come up behind him. A low command, and the wheels crunched into silence. Then Naja's light, firm footsteps came to his side. "From here the danger of discovery will be stronger," Naja said. "Look down there." He pointed with a long, muscular arm over Pharaoh's shoulder. Where the wadi debouched onto the plain below them, a single light showed, the soft yellow glow of an oil lamp. "That's the village of Al Wadun. That's where our spies will be waiting to lead us through the Hyksosian pickets. I'll go ahead to the rendezvous to make safe the way. Do you wait here, Majesty, and I'll return directly."
"I'll go with you."
"I beg you. There may be treachery, mem." He used the king's childhood name. You are Egypt. You're too precious to risk. Pharaoh turned to look into the beloved face, lean and handsome. Naja's teeth gleamed white in the starlight as he smiled, and Pharaoh touched his shoulder lightly, but with trust and affection. Go swiftly, and return swiftly. He acceded. Naja touched his own heart and ran back to his chariot. He saluted again as he wheeled past where the king stood, and Tamuza smiled as he returned the salute, then watched him go down the side of the wadi. When he reached the flat, hard sand of the dry riverbed, Naja whipped up the horses, and they sped down towards the village of Al-Wadun. The chariot left black-shaded wheel tracks behind it on the silvery sands, before it disappeared beyond the first bend of the wadi. When it had gone, Pharaoh walked back down the waiting column, speaking quietly to the troopers, calling many by name, laughing softly with them, encouraging and cheering them. Small wonder they loved him, and followed him so gladly wherever he led them.